It's with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Sing this tonight. You can lock me up in a prison, and you can throw away the key. So thankful tonight. I never could quite understand why a king would leave his throne to dawn.
Church, I was not fit to even
Way tonight. Oh, you know I never could quite understand why my king would want to leave his throne. Oh, just to dawn that old road of an earth.
Amen. We celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow, but we've got something to be thankful about.
Amen.
More than turkeys, more than even this great nation that God's let us live in with freedom of religion, we've got something to be thankful for.
Amen.
Amen. That he would come and give his life as a sacrifice to us. Amen.
Amen.
Call us into an end-time message. We got a lot to be thankful about.
Amen.
Gave us health in our body, food on our tables, roof over our head, families that are serving the Lord.
Amen.
We got a lot to be thankful about.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I hope they don't ask me when we sit down to eat, what are you thankful for, unless they have a long time and they want the turkey to get cold. Because I've got a lot to be thankful about, Brother Lee. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you tonight. Good to see the Beavers. They drive about 2.5 hours to be here. So on a Wednesday night, that's a sacrifice. And amen. Brother Wade and them all the way from Madison, different ones. I appreciate you driving long distances. I know there some people wouldn't walk right across the street in Silver Street, New Albany, to be at a service like this. But I'm thankful that there's people that have a burden on their heart to be in service and worship the Lord together. So what a privilege that we have. Amen. We want to announce again, Lord willing, Youth Bible Study will be here at the church Thursday night, November the 30th, from 7:30 to 9:30 in the fellowship area downstairs. So I want to remember that. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. I know most of you have probably heard about the situation in Russia where they're trying to ban about 21 message books from Russia. And there's a hearing scheduled on January the 16th, so please be in prayer for that. They've asked that pastor brothers from around the world write in letters in regards to this hearing that's going to be held there on the 16th. So I've done that, and I know there's a lot of other brothers that have done that just to try to show balance on what some of these people are trying to say about the message and trying to say that it's extremism. It won't be too long before they're trying to say the same thing in our country. Amen. They'll start to outlaw some of these fanatics and things like that that they feel are extremists, and then whoever they label an extremist, that'll be it. So, amen. We know that we won't always be able to maybe meet in a building like this, but we thank God that we still have the opportunity to do so.
Right.
Sister Patty Ard, want to continue to remember her in prayer for continued recovery for the surgeries that she's faced this week and the previous weeks, and that her dialysis port will not continue to clot. They've had problems where they've had to continually move that because it keeps clotting. So I want to remember her in prayer. And then Brother Lauren, he had the surgery to remove his knee and to put an antibiotic spacer in, and that surgery was successful. But just want to remember him in prayer for continued recovery. And then once that gets healed up good and all the infection out, they're going to put a replacement knee in there. So he'll need a lot of prayer and encouragement over the next few months, I'm sure. And the doctors found a cancerous tumor in Brother Furman's aunt Irma's colon, so I want to remember her in prayer this evening. A friend of Sister Anna Pierce's is having complications with pregnancy, so I want to remember her in prayer and the baby as well. And then Brother Joel's aunt Elaine, she's having shoulder surgery done today, so I want to remember her in prayer. And then Brother Jonathan Buckles, his dad is scheduled for surgery tomorrow and is having some issues with blood pressure as well, so I want to remember him in prayer. I think Brother Jonathan went up there to Canada to be with his family during this time, so I want to remember them in prayer for just traveling mercies and that God would move on the scene of this surgery. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to lift to the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Terry, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? A lot of requests tonight, but God knows all about each one. He knew about it before we read it, but he likes to hear us speak it forth what the need is, and then he loves to come on the scene and answer. Amen. God bless you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as the Psalms were saying, and thinking about just how blessed we are, Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. It's so good to come into church like this, Lord. And some of us, we could be in a bar room, a rock concert, something, but no. You did that for us. You put that desire where we want to be in church. We want to hear your word and worship you, Lord. We're part of you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and that just, you sent that prophet, Lord, the message, and that when that mother eagle screamed, we heard it, Lord, because we was part of you. Thank you for that, Lord. We appreciate it. And Father in heaven, I just pray that you'd be with us and anoint us to hear the word tonight. May it sink way down in our hearts, Lord. Just help your people, dear God. And we bring these requests to you, Lord. Think about Sister Ard, Lord God of heaven. Just touch her, Lord. Let everything be okay. Yes. We know we're trusting you. We believe it will be, Lord. Help her, Lord God. That's one of your children, Lord. I know you care for her very much, Lord. Thank you. Oh, dear God, what's going on over in Russia? You know all about it, Lord. I pray you come on the scene and help that situation there, Lord. But we know what your prophet said. One day, just like the brother said, they'll come over here too. It'll be here. And all these, this will be precious memories, Lord. It's a privilege, Lord, to be able to come to church. We thank you for that, Lord. And all the other requests, Lord, just come on the scene. Be with the people, Lord, and help them, dear God. Have mercy, dear God, upon us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and ask you, Lord. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Rebecca's Sunday school class.
Thank you.
Amen. Sure appreciate our young Christians. Amen. And the sisters did a great job preparing them for that. God bless you. We enjoyed that. At this time, we have a special from Sister Dottie. Appreciate that, Sister Dottie and Brother Jackson. Amen. Sure appreciate our special singing. If the brothers would please come at this time.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my father. He's been my mother. My brother too, yes, he's brought me, yes, he brought me from a mighty long way. sing it this evening. Yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my bread.
Church tonight. Amen. Amen. Good to feel his presence. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me if you would tonight. St. Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter. St. Luke chapter 18. I enjoyed those specials tonight. Amen. Amen. Those children singing, two of those were mine. And then my mom sang and my nephew played the drums and we had a Bryant Jamboree, I guess. But that was good. I enjoyed that. Those young people, had I known, sometimes they sneak in here and practice, and I don't know what they're going to sing. And I sang those songs Sunday, and I didn't mean to steal any of their thunder, but they did it better than I did anyhow. So, amen. It was good songs for Thanksgiving. We've got as I said, we've got much to be thankful for. St. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other one a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus tells them, he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne again tonight, Lord, I just ask that you'd take complete control of this service. Lord, as we've sang the songs, Lord, how thankful that we are to you tonight, Lord. We can look around and see right here present in this room, Lord, many of our blessings, our family, our loved ones, our children, Lord, our many fond memories together, Lord. And I just ask that you would continue to be with us. Bless us, Lord. And Lord, be with our families. Draw us continually closer to you, Lord, we pray. Lord, we thank you for sending a prophet in this age to reveal an end time message to us. Lord, where would we be without it, Father? Lord, we thank you for what you did that day on Calvary for us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we would be just groping in darkness, Lord, if you hadn't done these things for us. It wasn't anything that we did. It wasn't anything that we could do, Father. But Lord, it's what you did for us. We're so thankful tonight, Lord. Lord, may it not only be on Thanksgiving, Lord, that we get to thinking of how much that we're blessed and how much we have to be thankful for, Lord, but every day, Lord, that we get up out of bed and we begin to go about our day, may we recognize how blessed that we truly are to have breath in our body and health to get up and go about our daily needs, Lord, and Lord, to have jobs and to have food on our table, to have, Lord, families that love us and love you, Lord, and that love this message. Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us tonight. Lord, give us strength and courage, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. Jesus tells this parable of these two men, a Pharisee and a publican. And if you had been in the days of Jesus and you had looked at these two men, the Pharisee would have seemed much more religious than this publican. He would have seemed much more righteous, much more holy. He would have been the one that was there faithfully at church every service, and he would have been the one that, you know, did all the do's and didn't do all the don'ts. And if you had looked at him outwardly, the way that he dressed and the way that he acted, you would have just felt like he was a real believer of the day. But this other man, a publican, a sinner, a man with faults and failures, had you looked at him, it wouldn't have taken you very long probably to pick up on some of the things where he was a little rough around the edges. Maybe he wasn't there at church as often as he should be, and maybe he lived a little too close to the edge, and maybe there was things in his life that you could look and scratch your head and criticize. And these two men, Jesus begins to tell the parable. They go up to pray, and the one man, it wasn't that he had any great big sins in his life. He wasn't an adulterer. He wasn't a cigarette smoker. He wasn't a drug addict. And to look at his life, he looked like a pretty good guy. And he goes up to pray. And if we had seen them both standing there at the gate, we might have had a similar opinion to what the Pharisee had. But Jesus said this publican walked away justified because he said, whoever shall exalt himself
shall be abased, but whoever comes to God in the right manner, he'll be exalted. These two men came up to pray, but one went away justified, and the one went away with his own stinking sins dragging behind him.
Amen.
Now, when we look at this, this man, this publican, this sinner, he probably wouldn't have been our first pick, you know, in the church to go and have an office or to do things like this. We could find too many faults with this man to look at him. But yet Jesus begins to look at the situation. He sees this Pharisee in the way that he approaches him, and he sees the publican in the way that he approaches him. And he says, this man is justified, the man that you and I would have a problem with. He was the one that was justified. Now, Brother Branham tells us a story of a man that came up, and he was going to preach a service to some Pentecostal people, and he was one of these guys that thought he had it figured out better than everybody else. And he walked in there, and he walked up to the platform very proud, and, you know, probably about this many books and notes with him stacked under his arm. And he goes up there, and he begins to use such big words that the people can't even understand exactly what it is that he's saying. And he recognizes that with this humble group of people that his sermon, it isn't getting off the floor. It's not going anywhere. And he begins to stumble around to pack up his notes, and he just walks off the platform deflated, just completely dejected, and his head down and his shoulders down and just stooped over. And a man turned around and said to another one, he said, if he would have went up the way that he came down, he would have came down the way that he went up.
Right.
Many times we approach things like that with our shoulders back and our chest out, and bless God, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But Jesus said, whoever exalteth himself shall be abased. So we find there's a big portion of this Christian walk has to do with our approach to God and our approach to people. If we're not careful, you know, we've been looking for weeks here on these Pharisees and how to find a Pharisee and the different things that Brother Branham in the Scriptures tells us. And it's easy for us to identify those traits and, you know, Brother so-and-so down the road or Sister so-and-so that goes over here to this other church or this brother that we know out in this other state or this friend that we have on Facebook. It's easy for us to identify these spirits and try to label it, put it on this one or put it on that one. But tonight, let's turn the mirror around a little bit and face it back at ourselves, because it's very easy for us to slip into this portion of Phariseeism that when we go to pray, our prayer is, thank God that I'm not like Brother so-and-so. Thank God that I've got a higher revelation, that I don't belong to this group, or I don't belong to that group, or I don't go over here to this church, or I don't go over there to that church anymore. I'm not associated with this camp down here in this other state, or I'm not associated around this or that. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought me further than that. Many times, if we're not careful, we pray the exact same prayer that this Pharisee did. Thank you, God, that I'm not like that guy I ran into at Walmart. Thank you, God, that I'm not like that Baptist guy down here that I work with. Thank you, God, that I'm not like this group over here that's preaching prosperity and they don't think they've got to do nothing to get in. Thank you, God, I'm not like this group over here that's off in this false doctrine and that group over there. And if we're not careful, our prayer is a prayer of exaltation, but to the wrong person. And instead of exalting Jesus Christ, we begin to exalt ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that I'm further down the road than Brother so-and-so. Thank you, Lord, that I'm further down the road than, you know, X, Y, or Z family member. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a better revelation than this one or than that one. And if we're not careful, we walk away in the same condition that the Pharisee walked away, with our stinking sins dragging behind us, because Jesus said, unless you can forgive others, I won't forgive you. And we look, and many times in our own prayers for ourselves, we begin to judge somebody else. But the publican, he comes up, and he doesn't even feel worthy to lift his head up into heaven. He just bows his head, and he smites his breast, and he says, Father, forgive me, a sinner. I know I'm not worthy. I can't speak for all these other guys down here at the wall praying. I can't speak for their condition or their sins or their condition, but I know that I'm not worthy. And that man went away justified. Because he swept his own steps clean. Said, Lord, you know the condition I am. You know the condition that you found me in. You know that I'm unworthy. You know all about my faults. You know all about my failures. You know all about my mistakes. You know all about my daily struggles. Maybe these people down the street don't know. Maybe the people at church don't know. But there's one that knows. And Lord, you know all about what I'm facing. And I might as well be honest with you and honest with myself. I'm unworthy. And he began to take care of his own salvation instead of looking around at everybody else. God help us.
Amen.
God help us. You know, many times if we're not careful, we begin to look at friends and family members. And as I say, many times when the word's going out, it's coming right back and slapping me upside the head too. So don't feel bad tonight. Just listen to what's being said. Many times if we're not careful, we begin to look around at family members and we begin to look at different ones, you know, maybe our friends that we've been close friends to for years. And we think, goodness gracious, you know, they went to some of the same churches that I went to. I know they've heard some of the same tapes I've heard. I know they've listened to some of the same ministers that I've listened to. I know they've read the same books that I've read. And how does it seem like they're so far behind, Brother Hoover? How does it seem like that they can go and sit in the same services that I do, and yet they're so way far back there, and here I am way down the road. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a little bit further down the road than Brother so-and-so. And we begin to judge one another. But the Bible tells us, judge not lest ye be judged. Judge not lest ye be judged. That old judgmental Pharisee spirit, we can get it on ourselves very quickly. And we begin to pick people apart because, well, they don't see this exactly the way that I do. And they don't believe this exactly the way that I do. And they take this quote over here a little bit different than I do. And bless God, I just want to thank you tonight, Lord, that I'm a little bit further down the road than they are. You better watch that spirit. And we should be thankful. You know, I've got family members around the message. I've got friends around the message, bosom friends, close family members, that there's things in this message that we disagree bitterly on. Don't fall off your pews. I'm sure you've got some friends and family that you do the same thing with. Disagree bitterly with them about things. And if we would sit and get on certain topics very long, if the Holy Spirit didn't check our spirits, we'd be in a yelling, shouting match before you knew it. And yet, I can thank God tonight that even though we may not see things exactly eye to eye on certain doctrines and on certain ways and on certain, you know, terminology and on certain methods of how we run churches or how we go about certain things, I thank God that they haven't gone the way of some of these others that have walked away and left the message. I thank God that they haven't gone the way of some of these that have gone back to the world or back to the denominations and just quit and sat down and gave up. Oh, but Brother Nathan, they're so off on this and they're so far off on that. They're a lot further down the road than a lot of other people that I know. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. Sometimes, you know, we begin to focus on the negativity so much that we forget to be thankful for all the positive things that are going for us. And if we're not careful, we go to those family dinners and all we can focus on is, Brother Hoover, you know you and I don't see that quote, right? You know, we haven't seen each other in about 6 months. Why don't we just pick that scab a little bit again? Because I don't feel like you quite see it the way that I see it yet. And instead of talking about or fellowshipping about the 987 other things that you agree on, you begin to pick at that one little thing. Bless God, I read a quote the other day, and oh my, and let me tell you this and that and this, and this was the paragraph, and this was the page, and this was the year. And the brother says, well, bless God, I heard one the other day where he said this, that, and that. And we begin to get in a quote war instead of having fellowship. Pride, 1955. Brother Bram says, go to church on Sunday, and oh, how pious you are. And on Monday morning, nobody could get along with you. You Pharisee. What good does it do you to go to church? Oh my, he says, they need a conversion. That's what you need. Now we focus so much on, you know, and I believe in going to church. And I believe that we should be there when the doors are open. I thank God that the doors are open tonight for us to come and have fellowship together and worship the Lord together. I thank God that people showed up, but it's more than just going to church. Amen. It's more than just going to church. There's a lot of Catholics that'll be at church this weekend that they don't have a bit more idea about God sending a prophet than nothing. And they're praying to other people that are dead and gone and don't have nothing to do with their salvation. And they've got all kinds of rituals, but yet they're showing up to service every Mass. Won't do them a bit of good unless they accept what Jesus Christ did for them. Won't do them a bit of good. There's people that'll sit in message churches tonight and this weekend, and they'll walk in and they'll sit there and they'll look around at everybody and judge everybody and think about everybody they disagree with, and they'll walk back home or drive back home or ride back home, and they'll get back there and they'll think, you know, yeah, I'm going to search this quote and I'm going to prove Brother so-and-so wrong. I'm going to search that quote and I'm going to send an email to Brother so-and-so. And they sit there with bitterness and malice and hatred in their heart. What good did it do them to go to church? He says again in the supernatural, 1950, it's still the same ungodly Pharisee spirit that lived right yonder in a church atmosphere instead of under the Shekinah glory. Hey man, I don't want to come to church just to get in the four walls of Church of the Open Door so that I can put a check mark on my calendar and say, bless God, I went to church this week if nobody else did. Bless God, I was there. Well, what good did it do you if you walk away with that attitude? I don't want to come to church, you know, just so I can hear a tape or just so I can hear a minister and put a check mark off of that day. Or I don't want to get down and read my Bible and pray and listen to a tape Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in between services just so that I can have a checklist of my religious piety and be able to say, look what I did and look how much works I had this week. And did you have that much works, Brother Trevor, as I did? Or were you too busy? Because I did this and I did that. I went prayer for this one, and I went to this hospital, and I did that, and bless God, you know, ain't hardly nobody can keep up with my works. Well, what good is it doing you if you just get in a church atmosphere of church entity and just a religious spirit? Brother Branham said it was the hardest spirit that he ever had to deal with was a religious spirit. I wonder how many people have got to this message and been attracted to this message, and all they got was a church atmosphere or a religious spirit or the spirit of their pastor or the spirit of the person that brought them into the message, and they sit there and now they're worse off than they ever was because they think they're right. And they think they're justified, and they go and they pray, thank you, God, that I'm not like some of those people that you called me out of. And thank you, God, I'm not like this relative. And thank you, God, I'm not like this brother. And thank you, God, that I don't see it like brother so-and-so sees it. And a religious spirit begins to attach itself to them. And Brother Branham, a man that dealt with demon-possessed people, that dealt with witch doctors, that dealt with demon-possessed people that was crawling around on their backs and speaking literally the voice of a devil out of them instead of their own voice, and all kinds of sicknesses that he saw, said he saw them in physical form in the supernatural realm of demonology. He began to see what those demons looked like, bats and tortoises and spiders and all kinds of different things that he said these demons of in the physical realm of sickness was shaped like, and prayed for people and saw demons cast out of them, looked like a bat flying out of them. He said the worst spirit that he had to deal with was a religious spirit. Let me tell you tonight, it's the worst spirit that you'll have to deal with, whether it's trying to get on you or whether it's on somebody that you know. It's the hardest spirit that you'll deal with. You can convince the drug addict when he's laying there and he's on life support and he's about to go out of here because of liver failure. You can convince him that he needs God. You can convince the cigarette nicotine addict when he's laying there and he's dying of lung cancer that he needs God. You can convince the prostitute and the adulterer when they're dying of a venereal disease that they need God. But it's that guy sitting in message churches and Baptist churches and Pentecostal churches that is so convinced that he's right and has never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. He's the guy you'll have a hard time convincing. Because they've sat in a church atmosphere, but they've never really got under the Shekinah glory. The Unwelcome Christ, 1955. Oh, you Pharisee, been going to church all these times and supposed to be a Christian. He knows what you are. He knows what you are. He says, don't you worry. He knows who you are. He knows what's on the inside of you. You're ashamed to come to the altar after belonging to church so long, but he knows you. He knows what's on the inside of you. Can you imagine Judas? Can you imagine trying to convince him that he was demon-possessed and that he was going to go to hell unless he came up to Pentecost and got what the others got? He would be quick to tell you, listen, I've been walking with the main man. I'm not just associated with Ephesus and some of these guys around here. I've been walking with the main man. I've hunted with him. I've slept right beside him. I've fished with him. I've seen miracles. In fact, I was part of a few of them. I handed out fish to 5,000 people and watched him break the bread off. And you're going to try to correct me and tell me that I need more of God? He had a religious spirit, but he never made it all the way to the Holy Spirit. He had a religious spirit. I'm a part of this church. I'm the treasurer. Jesus elected me. He chose me as a disciple. He called me when I was out here with that group and that group. He called unto me and said, follow me. And I left everything I had and followed him. But you haven't got the Holy Ghost yet, Judas. Oh, I've been going to church for too long for that. I've sat under too many meetings. Oh, my, what would the other 11 think if I went up there and began to pray and cry and seek God? And they think, oh, my, Judas must have never got it yet. I couldn't do that. Why? His pride held him back. Amen. Remembering the Lord, 1962, and the church member of today is the same. If they trusted in their denominations and so forth them days and was afraid of their prestige, they'd be put out of the synagogue. What was it then? It was idolatry. Worshiping an idol. Creed or an idol church religion instead of accepting the living word which was manifested before them. You mean you could go to church and sit on a pew and try to worship God and actually be worshiping a creed or an idol instead and then absolutely be idolatry? That's what he said. Amen. Let's turn over to 2 Kings chapter 18, if you would, tonight and look at this story of Hezekiah for just a few verses. The children of Israel had got to a place where they were so backslidden that they actually thought they were worshiping God and approaching God, but it had turned to idolatry. And the very thing that the prophet had set up for their deliverance and for their healing and for their victory, they idolized the very same thing. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, talking about Hezekiah. In the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did, he removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Now, wait a minute, Hezekiah. Now, wait a minute right here. We draw the line right here. Moses gave us this brass idol. Moses gave us this brazen serpent. In fact, the very God that told Moses not to make any graven images turned around and told him it was okay to make this one for the healing of the people. And he held it up. And I remember my great-great-great-great-granddaddy, he began to tell the story about how he was there and what he saw as a little boy and all those people that had been snake bit, how they began to be healed if they would just look and live as he held out this brass serpent over them. You better not come in here and try to take away our brass serpent, Hezekiah. Let's read the next verse. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Now this word Nehushtan, it's a Hebrew word that means a thing of brass. And they idolized it. This was something that the prophet gave us. And they began to burn incense to this as an idol, as they would some idol of their own imagination that they had formed. They had seen God. They'd heard the stories of how God had used this in the supernatural years before. And now they begin to burn incense to this. And Hezekiah comes in, I'm sure he wasn't very popular, because this thing that they were bowing to and burning incense to, he comes over and he says, it's just Nehushtan. It's just a thing of brass. They said, oh, Hezekiah, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy, Hezekiah. He said, it's just a thing of brass. You better not worship that thing. I know God told Moses to make it. I know God told Moses to do it. And I know it's been a blessing. And I know that what he touches is blessed. And I understand all that. But you're beginning to make it an idol and worship it. And you better recognize it's just Nehushtan. God Rich in Mercy, 1965. The people sinned later by taking this same thing that God had made an atonement for them by the brass serpent, which represented sin already judged, and they idolized that gift, and that sinned again. God will not share his glory with nobody. Therefore, we can't have no two, three, four gods. There's only one God. He'll not share his glory with anything else. He is God alone, see? So as the heathens have many gods, we have the one God, and he will not share his glory with another. Neither will he let anything be an idol in front of him. Even though he had made an atonement for the people, and it was God's word, it was right. But when they become to idolizing that, then they got in trouble. Now he's going to bring it down home. Now that's just the same thing I think that's happened to our church ages. God sent us the message of Martin Luther with his message, John Wesley, the Pentecostal message. But what did we do with it? The very same thing that they did with that brass serpent, we idolized it. I belong to this. And I belong to that. Oh, goodness. I belong to Church of the Open Door, and I belong to this church, and I belong to the message, and I belong to this group, and I belong to that group. Bless God. You better be careful that Pharisee spirit don't get a hold of you. And you think that you're a little bit better than somebody else because of what pew you sit on or what revelation that God has blessed you with or where you came from, and you begin to look around and pray like the old Pharisee. Thank you, God. I'm not like this one down here. Thank you, God. I'm not like that guy that I passed by in Walmart today with all those tattoos and gauges and piercings all over his body. Thank you, God. I'm not like him. How do you know that's not a predestinated creature of God?
Come on.
Amen. We look at the outside and we judge, but you don't know what's on the inside of that man. You don't know what false doctrine he's been taught all of his life. And maybe all it takes is one day a light to turn on and the message to cross his path and him say, you know what? I've always hungered and thirsted for something like this. I've been yearning my whole life. Every tattoo I got, I was hungering for something. Every piercing I got, I was hungering for something. Every cigarette I smoked and every whiskey bottle that I drank, I was longing for something and I never could quench it. And right here is what I've been looking for my whole life. And we walk by many times and we think, thank you, God, I'm not like him. And God can look and see our squeaky clean outside and say, really, he's a lot better off than you because he knows what condition he's in. We idolized it. I belong to this. I belong to that. You see, you belong to something without the sincerity that's connected with genuine godly worship of the word. He says, what happened? It's not just enough to belong to something. It's not just enough to be associated around something. It's not just enough to say, bless God, I believe something. If we're not careful, we just bring our own denominational habits right around into the message and say, I am approved because of this, and I'm okay because of this, and I did this, and I did that, and I see this, and I see that, and I believe this, and I believe that. You know, if your revelation, if all it does is puff you up and make you think that you're better than somebody else, what good is your revelation doing you? He says the Bible, we are told in the Bible that the prophet took that idol and destroyed it. He says, hallelujah. What we need on the scene today is a prophet that'll destroy the idol of denominations. Amen. That thinks they're going into heaven upon belonging to some creed or a denomination needs to be destroyed and burn up and throw it away.
Amen.
I know he said we never denominate this, but I'd like to say tonight we need some men to rise up and destroy some of the denominational thinking that has creeped in around the message. That bless God, I'm okay because I go here. Or I'm okay because I believe this. Or I'm okay because I see that. Or I'm okay because I'm related to so and so. Or because my daddy shook hands with Brother Branham or camped out with him. Or my grandpa hunted with him. It's got to be more than that. Those things are wonderful. That's a good testimony. That's something that we can be proud of. But that won't put you in the pearly gates. That's a denominational idea. It's got to be a birth. And anything that you place ahead of that that you think is going to get you there, and anything that you think is going to make you better than somebody else because, well, I see this doctrine a certain way, and I believe it the right way, and I do this, and I do that. Anything that you place above Jesus Christ or above the new birth and you think that's going to be your ticket in ought to be destroyed and thrown away and burn up. That's what he said. You say, oh my, you mean those things are a denominational spirit? Anything that you can place a label on and say, I'm part of it because this, outside of the new birth and what Jesus Christ did for you, you better be careful. It's a denominational spirit. Well, Brother Hoover, bless God, I believe the serpent seed this way, so I know I'm all right, and I believe the Godhead right, and I believe this right. Brother Branham said, God proved that he's ignoring your doctrine. So it's not how much more right I am than anybody else. It's not how smarter I am than anybody else. It's not how much better I live it than anybody else, or how much faster I can quote it, or how much better I can intellectually understand it. The devil can do a lot of those things too. But he ain't got the new birth, I can promise you that. Shalom, 1964. Get away from creeds. Get back into. He says, I don't care. You might have started your creed 500 years ago. That don't mean one thing to God. Them Sadducees and Pharisees started long before you did and were condemned. Amen. Faith is the sixth sense. 1960s, talking about Georgie Carter. He said, she belonged to a very famous church that denies the power of God. Don't, just a modern Pharisee. They don't believe in no Holy Spirit, no nothing. Just be baptized in water and belong to church. Now he's calling names. He's calling churches and people that used to belong there. And he says they're just a modern day Pharisee. Water baptism, 1961. This was the Church of Christ, man, and so-called Church of Christ. Of course, they're against all the true teachings of the Bible almost. And you couldn't call them, I don't mean to say anything against them people in there, but them ministers are, if you'll excuse the expression, like the Irishman's owl, all fuss and feathers and no owl. So that's just about the way it is, you see. They haven't got nothing to stand on. So the modern day Pharisee, the modern Pharisee rather, they haven't got nothing to stand on. This is where the Pharisees were at. They had all their traditions and their man-made creeds, and you got to do it this way, and you got to be here, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And he said, your traditions have made the commandments of God of none effect because they didn't have any place to really solidly stand in the Word. And he turns around and calls this specific denomination and says they're just a modern Pharisee. But if we're not careful, we get this attitude. Well, bless God, Brother so-and-so, you know, I see the way he treats this one. I see the way he said that. Just a modern-day Pharisee. Thank you, God, that I'm not like him. Well, maybe you're more like him than you think when you begin to pray like that. See, this Pharisee spirit is a Pharisee spirit regardless of how it manifests itself. Amen. It's a self-righteous spirit. It's a I'm better than somebody else spirit. Now, I recognize in one way, as the bride of Jesus Christ, we are in a different category. But I also am very, very quick to recognize that it's not because of what I did that I'm in that category, but it's because of what he did by his grace that placed me in that category. I recognize we have to be careful not to belittle ourselves and not to live underneath our privileges, but I have to also recognize that we have to acknowledge the fact that it wasn't you that put you in. And it wasn't your pastor that puts you in. It wasn't even Brother Branham or some minister down through the ages that puts you in. It was Jesus Christ that called you to this if you ever really got in. Now, you can be associated around it just like Judas was associated around it without ever truly being in it. But if you're ever really, truly in the bride of Jesus Christ, it's not he that ran and it's not he that did and it's not he that sought, but it was God that sought you and called you to this. And you can look back down through your life's history and you can recognize how that it wasn't you seeking him, but that it was him seeking you, and he came and found you. Maybe when you was running as hard away from it as you could, and maybe when you didn't want to have anything to do with it, maybe when you was in sins or false doctrines or false creeds, but yet God, rich in mercy, began to shine down his light to you, and somebody handed you a book or a tape or invited you to a church service, and you heard something that you had never heard before, and a deep down on the inside began to call to a deep and say, that's what I've been looking for my whole life. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Amen. So don't think you're better than somebody else. The only way that you will ever be better than somebody else is because God picked you up and set you up on a shelf somewhere and said, I chose them and left the other ones down there in the mud pile. Don't forget, you was down there in the mud pile once too. And it was just God's grace that lifted you up. God's only provided place of worship 1965. Well, they put this as the Church of Christ. He said if there's anything that's wrong in that declaration, it left out one word, anti. All that he taught, they disgrace with it. They disagree with it, rather. Modern Pharisee. 2 Timothy talked about people like this. St. Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, he said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. A group that would begin to acknowledge, you know, that there is a God. This denomination he's talking about, it wasn't that they didn't believe there wasn't a God. It was that they acknowledged the fact that there was a God. They wanted to even take the name of Christ and place it right into the name of their letterhead and into the name of their denomination. It wasn't that they didn't acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ came. It wasn't the fact that they didn't acknowledge that it was his life that was given for us to save us. It was that they began to take the things that he did and say, that was for some other day. We don't need that anymore. And Brother Branham said it was the most difficult denomination that he ever had to deal with. Everywhere he went, and he would proclaim that God was still a God of Hebrews 13 and 8, they would come and say, days of miracles are past. And they would forbid their people to even attend the services and tell them, you go and attend one of that man's services, you might as well not even come back to church here. But there were some people that got hungry enough. You know, there's something about it. When people get hungry enough, they don't care what bad light that somebody has shown on it. They want to go and get them something to eat somewhere. And here, this group of people, they were starving for a bit of God. They were starving for more of God in their life, for the signs and wonders that were following that the Bible had promised. And they'd go to church and they'd need healing, and all the pastor could encourage them and tell them was, God don't work like that anymore. But I need God to touch me. Well, you don't work like that anymore. Oh, but I need this from God and I need that from God. God don't do that no more. That was for some other day. And they got hungry enough that finally they went to hear a little holy roller preacher that everybody had talked bad about, and he began to tell them that the days of miracles were not past, but the Bible days were here again. And he did more than just talk about it, but his life and his ministry and the vindication of his gift backed it up. Now, here was this group over here. They had a form of godliness. They liked to talk about God. They liked to be associated around God and have the name of God even associated with them. But they denied the power of God. They had a form of godliness. They had a certain set of rules and a certain set of bylaws and a certain set of rituals that they would perform in a certain type of church service. But they would deny that God could still work in his power. Oh, my, can you imagine serving a powerless God? A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We might as well just go down and you know, worship some wooden idol or some brass idol or some stone idol if God doesn't have power. But I believe today that he still has the same power that he did on the day of Pentecost. I believe that he still works in the same way that he did, and that we can have more than just a form to say, I'm a message believer, or bless God, I'm a Christian, or bless God, I was saved, or bless God, this, that, or the other. I believe there's a power that follows the true believer, that we can serve God not only in truth, but in spirit also. Amen. That we can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that signs and wonders will follow. You mean everybody's going to heal the dead, raise the dead rather? Probably not. But there'll be some type of a sign and wonder following the person. Because the Bible said signs and wonders follow the believer. And in this age, even if you can just walk through Walmart with your hair uncut, that's a sign that's following a believer. And people can recognize that. You say, oh, that's too simple, Brother Nathan. It's got to be more than that. There are signs and wonders that will follow the believer that people in this age will have no desire or no inclination to replicate because they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They want to be able to go to work and say, I'm a Christian too, Brother Dougie. Doesn't bother me, doesn't condemn my conscience. I go out here and drink me a Budweiser, and you know, these guys at your work, they'll tell you, that don't condemn my conscience. I go out and watch a good R-rated movie every once in a while, don't condemn my conscience. Now, I recognize guys like, you know, some of these defectors out here, they'll splice that part out and make it like I was saying it, but you can tell them that it wasn't me. I was just quoting guys like them. Doesn't condemn me, to smoke a pack here and there. You know, doesn't condemn my conscience. Brother Branham said, they've got no more conscience than a snake's got hips. Some of the women say, oh, doesn't condemn me to cut my hair. Doesn't condemn me to wear my little short skirts or to wear my short shorts or to wear my slacks like a man. And it doesn't condemn me to do this, doesn't condemn me to do that. And they want to have a form of godliness. They want to profess, well, I'm a Christian too. I'm a believer too. It doesn't bother me to do that. But they deny the power thereof. They deny that God can still do what he did in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They deny that God can still change them to take the very desire of those things away from them. They'll listen to, you know, groups like Alcoholics Anonymous that'll tell them, you know, once an addict, always an addict. And they say, well, I guess that's just the way it is. But they deny the power of God to take it completely away. Not only the symptoms, not only the urge, but the very desire. The very thought of the thing to where, you know, where once they loved that, now it would turn their stomach and they think, good Lord, how did I ever do that? Why? Because they don't deny the power thereof. They don't deny that there's still a God that can still work in the ways that he always did. Brother Branham said he is unchangeable. Amen. Amen. He says in Remembering the Lord in 1962, he says, he's talking about these Pharisees, and they saw the word of God. The Bible said we have seen him and handled him. Human beings laid hands upon the literal, living, manifested word of the living God and let traditions and creeds stand between them, washing pots and pans and such a filthy thing stand between them and the living God. Yes, what was it? They were prejudiced. They were prejudiced against his clean, clear-cut, gospel scripture that he was teaching the Father's word. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in the same situation at the end of the road that, look, you handled the very word of life. You had it right there in your hands. You had the spoken words of a vindicated prophet. You had an infallible Bible. You had people around you living in this age as dark and as evil as it was, that was living a life above reproach by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you went and you shook some of their hands, and deity was living right down on the inside of that temple. And you touched it with your hands. You got to sit down in fellowship with them. You got to sit and eat with them. And they begin to tell you what God was doing. And if we're not careful, we begin to draw lines. Oh no, they couldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost because they see it this way. This one over here, they couldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost because they follow this brother. This one over here, they couldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost because they, you know, they believe this doctrine a certain way. And this one couldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost because, you know, I saw them lose their temper one time 27 years ago, and so they couldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you begin to box and to box and to box and to box until you think, well, bless God, I guess nobody has it but me, Brother David. Nobody has it but me. I guess I'm just the only one, like old Elijah thought. I guess it's just me. He said they touched the word. And they handled it with their hands, but because of their own traditions, well, brother so-and-so can't have it because he don't wash the pots the way that I do. And sister so-and-so, she can't have it because she don't wash her hands the way I do. And sister so-and-so, she can't do it because she's not at the synagogue as much as I do. So must just be me. He said they were prejudiced against his clean, clear-cut gospel scripture that he was teaching the Father's word. They were jealous of him. They were prejudiced of him. And as long as they have a remembrance, which still in hell, they'll remember. That's the way they'll be remembered. That's the way they'll have to remember him. You say, oh, that was the Pharisees. Okay, questions and answers, 1954. It's the same devil in religious forms that persecuted the Christ is the same devil that's in church today wearing long robes. And they don't have to wear, I don't mean the robe over their body. I mean the robe on your soul. See, why the days of miracles is past, there's no such thing as, you talk about modern Pharisees, just exactly. Now, they may not stand up and sing in a choir and have a robe on, but you get to talking to them very long and you'll find out they've got a robe over that soul. And oh no, I can't talk to you about that. I'm afraid I'd be deceived. And oh no, I can't see that. You know, my mommy taught it to me this way, and my daddy taught it to me that way, and grandpa so and so he taught it to me that way. And they keep that soul so robed and so tied up. And Brother Branham called him just a modern day Pharisee. And it's easy for us, if we're not careful, we begin to look around the label. Uh-oh, yeah, I know. Bless God, Brother Nathan sure got him tonight. You know, he sure got Brother So-and-so. I sure wish he listened to that one. Maybe you should listen a little harder. Maybe we should listen a little harder. Maybe I should listen a little harder. Amen. To recognize that it's not going to come down to us being able to label and say, well, you know, I see what Brother Nathan's teaching, so we can just write this church off and that church off and this group off and that group off and this movement off and that movement off. Brother Bam said there's good people in every church. And he was talking about denominations. He didn't even bring it right down to the message like we would see it today. He was talking about those people out in denominational churches and Pentecostal churches and Methodist and Baptist churches. He said there's good people in all those churches. It's that denominational spirit that holds them and puts a little fear and says, don't fellowship with that group. They're not Pentecostal. Don't fellowship with that group. They're not Methodist. Don't fellowship with that group. They're Baptist. And then we look at that and we think, oh, isn't that pitiful? And allow the same thing to creep right into the message. Don't fellowship with that group. They believe this doctrine. Don't fellowship with that group. They believe this brother. And they follow that brother. And we begin to label and label and label. And we go down and say, now lay me down to sleep. I thank you, God. I'm not like my friend Pete. I'm not like this one. I'm not like that one. And we begin to pass out our labels. And we forget to look in the mirror and say, God, I got any Pharisee spirit on there? Let's read it again before we close tonight. I'll give you a break. I'm going to Delaware this weekend. I'll let somebody else beat you up for a while. St. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Oh, God help us. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, Perugia, two Lord, thunders, this, that, or the other, and even as this publican over here.
Come on, brother.
I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. God bless you tonight. The musicians would come. I wonder if we can just bow our heads tonight and just think within ourselves. Lord, if that had been me, if I had been the one in the parable, if I had been the one that he began to look into my life today or yesterday or this week, and he began to see me and see my conversations, see my attitude, see my spirit, see the way that I treat people and the way that I label people and the way that I think of people. What would he have said? Would he have put me in that group? Would he have looked into my life and seen that I was more like the Pharisee, that I was judging everybody else? Would he have seen that I stereotype different people because they belong to a certain church or they lean towards a certain doctrine or they follow a certain brother? Would I have stereotyped them and thought, God, I know you can't be pleased with them, so I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like them? Or would he have looked into my life and he would have seen that I was so thankful that he called me? I was so thankful that he took time to call me before the foundation of the world. I was so thankful that he would even consider me in his thinking, because he knew all my faults and failures just like I do. And he knew all my mistakes and all my character flaws and all my humanity and all my struggles and all of my temptations. He knew all of those just like I know. And yet he chose me. I want to be so thankful every day of my life that I don't begin to label everybody else and try to put them, are they a Pharisee? Are they a publican? Are they this? Are they that? Are they Sadducee? Or are they this group or that group? What are they? But I just say, Lord, I'm so thankful. Not like the Pharisee, I'm so thankful that I'm better than somebody else. But like the publican, Lord, I'm so thankful that even though I was so unworthy, even though there was absolutely nothing, I couldn't memorize enough scriptures, I couldn't listen to enough tapes, I couldn't attend enough services to deserve going to heaven. What I really deserved, because of my humanistic nature and because of my poor decisions in life and because of my faults and failures, I really deserved hell. But I'm so thankful, Lord, even though I'm undeserving, that you chose me, that you called me. Help me, Lord, never to place somebody else in some category and try to figure out where they're at and what they are, but help me to have the same grace for them that you gave to me, that no matter where they're at, no matter what they've done, no matter what their current condition or circumstance, no matter what their current belief or what the church they attend or the brother they follow or the state that they live in or whatever it is, help me not to put them out, because God, I couldn't even put myself in. How could I put anybody else out or in? It was your grace. It was your grace. Oh, Lord, help us to have the right attitude. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to recognize what grace did for us. And to recognize, Lord, if you could do that for us in our condition, that anybody we meet, whether it be on the street, at our job, at our school, Lord, if you could be mindful enough of us to bring us out of the miry clay, then I know there's enough grace for them. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Instead of extending labels and extending criticism and judgment, help us to extend grace. Help us to try to put ourselves in that other person's shoes and say, Lord, I don't know what they've been through. I don't know how they've been hurt. I don't know how they've been raised. I don't know what they've been taught. All I know is you died for them just like you died for me. And if there was hope for me, there can be hope for them. Help us, Father, to have the right kind of attitude. Help me, Lord. Lord, sometimes it's the hardest thing it seems like you've asked us to do. Even when someone's criticizing us or coming against us, you're calling us to come up higher than that, to come up higher than the bickering and the arguing and the fussing and the fighting. And to say, I love you and I called you. Can't you come up higher than that to love them even if they're disagreeing with you? Can't you come up higher than that to have grace for them? Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us not to find ourselves in the seat of the scornful. Help us not to find ourselves on Pharisee pew, sitting there judging everybody else, Father. But help us, Lord, to recognize what grace did for us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Oh, mercy, it rewrote my life. That's my testimony. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote. Oh, yes, Father. When I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but your mercy rewrote my life. Oh, let's sing it together. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote. He looked beyond my faults. He looked beyond all my failures and my bad decisions, and God's mercy, oh, it rewrote my life. Oh, yes, Lord. When I should. As I play that softly tonight, somebody called me this week and was telling me about some things they've been facing, how some people from different states and things had had contacted them and said, you know, they didn't really come against them real hard, but they could just tell by their attitude towards them that they were kind of pitying them and felt sorry for them because they didn't see this great revelation that they thought they saw. And I began to think in my heart, oh my, what a Pharisee spirit. I was very quick, Brother Trevor, to recognize it in that way. But it took me a little bit longer to realize, well, is that a Pharisee spirit in you? That's saying, thank God I'm like not like that guy. It takes us a little longer to recognize it in ourselves sometimes than somebody else. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of dying out to this guy right here to recognize it inside of us. Oh, we can look out there and say, oh yeah, Brother so-and-so, I know how he treated me. Sister so-and-so, I know the way she lives. Brother so-and-so, I know what he teaches. This one down the road, I know how they act. Turn the mirror around sometimes. Say, God, help there not to be anything in me that would be unpleasing to you. Help me not to be too quick to judge. Help me not to be too quick to label. Help me not to be too quick to pass judgment on somebody and say, this is what they are. I'm thank God that he didn't do that to me. That he didn't just quickly pass judgment, but he said, I see what he is, but I'm looking at what he's going to be. God's mercy, oh, it rewrote my life. Oh, if we'll be honest tonight, he did for all of us. Oh, God's mercy, he rewrote. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, and I should have fallen, my soul. Let's sing it again together tonight. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote. When you was out in denominations or out in the world or out in addictions, yet God's mercy, oh, it rewrote my life. Oh, Let's stand and sing it together tonight. Sing it again to him.
Worthy tonight. Amen. God bless you richly. Keep us in your prayers. We'll be traveling tomorrow up to Delaware. I'll be preaching for Brother Jeff at his church there Saturday night and Sunday morning, and traveling back home Monday. So keep us in your prayers. We'll be praying for the services here and expecting good things. Amen. God's got it all in control. Amen. Amen. Encourage somebody. Amen. You want to be encouraged? Encourage somebody else. Say something good about them. Say something positive. Don't always, Brother Bram said, don't let one negative thought come into your mind. He said, you can't keep them from coming. He said, no, but you can keep them from roosting. Amen. Say something to encourage somebody. Greet one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy for us to speak the truth. We have plenty of it in this age, but Paul said, speak the truth in love. There's a big difference. I found in life there's a big difference between just speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love. I receive the truth a lot better when it spoke to me in love. I don't know about you, but somebody wants to correct me, but they do it in love. It's a lot easier, Brother Arnie, than when somebody just wants to jump down your throat, truth, 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 truth. Amen. It's still true, but it's a lot harder to receive, Brother Yarborough. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this before we go tonight. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed. Brother Trevor, would you come dismiss us? I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up,
I am blessed. Amen. Boy, we could just keep singing that, but I guess that's not what I was called up here to do, so. Yes, I wasn't called up here to preach, but after that, boy, I could preach for a little while after that too. I tell you what, that was really good. So just keep that mirror up, everybody. Keep that mirror up and looking. Am I thinking that about this person? Okay. Yeah. And everybody's got a mirror, you know, it's right here, and you just flip the little camera and there's your mirror. It's a 2017 mirror, so you got it always with you in your pocket, so it shouldn't be too hard. So amen. You love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
All right, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, our hearts are full, Lord, full of thanksgiving, Father. Father, that you would see fit to come and to bring your word down to us, and Lord, to speak to us, to speak the truth, to speak it to us in love, Lord. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we even have a desire to hear this. Oh, God. Lord, truly the millennium comes and we'll just fall down on our faces and praise you for 1,000 years. What else can we do, Lord? We're unworthy of it, but God, you saw fit to give it to us, and you put something inside of us to respond to that deep that was already out there. God, thank you so much, Father. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our our children, and thank you for one another, Lord, our friends sitting on the pews in front of us, behind us, beside us, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for those that even rub us the wrong way, Lord, because it helps us to see where our rough edges are, Father. So, Father, may you continue to just fill us with your Spirit, Lord. We, as your prophet told us, there's many fillings, but or there's a filling, but there's many refillings. Father, just continue to refill us, and as the water sloshes out, Lord, may you just keep pouring it on in. Father, we desire to be like you, to have your love in our hearts, Lord. Oh God, be with us now, and pray that these things would just anchor down deep into our lives, Lord, and just dismiss us with your love and your grace. Father, be with everyone. If there's any traveling as pastors going, Lord, any others traveling to be with family, may you be with them, Father. Lord, may you be in the fellowship around the table, Lord, with the different ones. And Father, may the attitude be encouraging. May it be positive. May it be full of love, Father. I know many situations with families can be tense, Lord, but Father, I pray that your Spirit would just be so filled on the inside of each believer here, Lord, that just such a blessing that they would be just to enter the door of any home that they're going to be in this during this time, Lord. So, Father, be with us and dismiss us in your love, Lord. We thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Let's sing that as we go.
When I wake up in the morning till I lay my